You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, you have a cordial invitation to hang around. Stick with me. Just a few minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, all done without any types of manipulation. We don't try to con people. We're not trying to hustle money. We're not going to try to sell you anything, not try to get you to join up. We just want to give you some good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God, redeemed you and me out of the slave market of sin. Thus, our debt to God has been paid, and we are now free from the penalty and the power of sin. If we receive Christ as our Savior, we in effect accept the offering that He made on our behalf, the free gift of compliments of the grace of God. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast about it." It's a heck of a way to start a radio show saying all of that, but here's the main bottom line. Are you sick of living like you're living? Are you tired of being the person that you are? Would you like to start your life all over again? You can. The Bible says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. You can have a clean slate today. By receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can begin a new life, a spiritual life, a unique life that God has ordained for you in eternity past, and a wonderful way to live that you can live without worry, you can live without guilt, you can live without shame, you can live without fear. It's a wonderful life called the Christian life, but it starts with faith alone in Christ alone. That's why Titus says in chapter 3, verse 5 and 7, "Not by works of righteousness, which we did, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by His grace," freely, by His grace, "we would be made heirs according to the confidence that we have of eternal life." What a wonderful thing to know Christ as Savior, to begin a new life. That happened to me when I was 22 years old. I was sick of myself. I was sick of living the way that I was living. I was sick of the spotlight in my head that would show me all the goofy things I'd done. I'd try to go to bed at night and there was no peace. I didn't really know God. I didn't think about God. But finally, someone took me to a Bible study and I heard about God. And I heard the claim that Jesus Christ died for me, took my place on the cross, was judged in my place, and that if I would trust Him, I could have eternal life. I didn't know all the complications or the ramifications or everything that would take place, but I did it. I prayed and I asked Him to save me. And I didn't feel weird. I mean, nothing funky happened. No lights blinked. No angel showed up. But it happened just as I was told that it would happen. My life has never been the same since then, excuse me. So, what happened is I became a personal representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can do that also. You can be a personal representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you like to do that? Would you like to be His representative in the devil's world? Recently, while listening to my pastor teach a series on the life of Christ, and it's been quite a series. It's well over 1,000 hours he's been teaching on this right now. I came to consider what it means to be a personal representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what I'd like to share with you today. Notice some of the points that I read as I go through John 17 and read a few verses. This is where the Lord Jesus Christ is praying. He's praying for His disciples, and you're going to find out something else. He prayed for you in this passage right here. In John 17, beginning with verse 6, He said this. This is, as my pastor says, a didactic prayer or teaching prayer, but the disciples are learning. As he's praying, they're learning. And he said, I have revealed to you, Father, those whom you gave me, but gave me out of this world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. This is the first key thing, obedience. And you can't be obedient if you're arrogant. Arrogant people are not teachable. It takes some humility to be teachable. And these men had to learn humility the hard way because they were very competitive with one another. They were a group of fishermen, tax collectors, etc. And they had to learn. The Lord Jesus Christ taught them some hard lessons about humility. But if you can understand that his mindset was a mindset of humility, he humbled himself, made himself of no reputation. Philippians 2, 5, 6, 7, right there. You understand what he expected from his disciples. It wasn't about a popularity contest. It wasn't about who's the most impressive in the bunch. It's about who could be the biggest, greatest, most wonderful servant. And the Lord Jesus Christ was that servant. He came to serve us, and he serves you by providing eternal life, free compliments. So he says, they have obeyed your word, verse 7, John 17, coming up now, and they know everything you've given me comes from you. Verse 8, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. So listen carefully. Anything the Lord Jesus Christ said came from God the Father. He didn't conjure up words on his own. He was repeating the words of God the Father. And as he repeated the words of God the Father, they came through God the Son, and the disciples believed it. And what you're going to see in a minute is God still speaks like this, except instead of speaking through God the Son, now he speaks through the Bible, the canon of Scripture, with these men recorded for us. So he said, they believed that you sent me, and he said, I pray for them, verse 9. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you've given me, because they are yours, verse 10. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I, verse 11, will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, that's you and me, and I am coming to you. So, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. So there's power in the name of God the Father. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we are members of the royal family of God. And the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What do we need to be protected from? Well, the Bible says the devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. We need protection from the strategy of the devil. In Ephesians 6 tells you how to do that. Put on the armor of God so you can stand against the strategy of the devil. And the whole study about the armor of God is about you staying filled with the Spirit, using the faith rest drill, learning the promises of God, and these are all part of the flight line in your soul. So he asked the Father to protect them by the power of his name. And then he went on to say, the name you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. And here, my pastor made it clear to me that they're praying for unity. While I was with them, I protected them, and I kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so the Scriptures could be fulfilled. But I am coming to you now, but I say these things, verse 13, while I'm still in this world, so they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Verse 14, John 17. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of this world any more than I am of this world. And this is true of you too. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, your citizenship is in heaven. And how did you become a Christian? By believing the word of God. How did you hear the word? It came through the apostles who recorded it and wrote down what Jesus Christ said. Well, where did Jesus Christ get these words? From God the Father, as he gave them to him. There it is. I just read it to you. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one, that's Satan and his minions. And then verse 16, they are not of the world, but even as I am not of the world. Verse 17, chapter 17, John, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Verse 18, As you sent me into the world, I sent them into the world. For them I sanctified myself, or set myself apart, that they too may be truly set apart. Now listen to verse 20, John 17. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. How did you come to believe in Jesus Christ? Well, you heard the Word of God. How did you hear the Word of God? It was written down and recorded by someone and quoted to you. Who wrote it down and recorded it? The apostles. And now it became the canon of Scripture, and now you have the Bible, and this is how God speaks to you, through the recorded words of Scripture. So my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. You hear it? For those who will believe in me through their message. He's looking in eternity future. He's looking to see you. You're going to be saved. You're going to accept Christ as your Savior. You're going to believe in Him through the message the apostles recorded and wrote down and preserved for you in the canon of Scripture. How about that? Verse 21, that all of them may be one. In other words, unity. Not scattered about. This is what the devil loves to do, is he loves to cause division and create divisiveness. Father, just as you're in me, I'm in you. May they also be in us, so that the world would believe you sent me. No competition. No one-upmanship. All one. Same mind, same goal, same identity. That's the way we're supposed to be, Christians. So here's some principles. One, this prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ was a teaching prayer for the disciples, because they learned what was coming and what to expect. Two, in verse 20, he said, I pray for those who will believe in me through their message. That's the fulfillment of the Great Commission given in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, where he told them, Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So there's their marching orders. There they had their commission. You, as a believer in Jesus Christ, have two royal commissions. You have been commissioned twice. We are commissioned as a believer priest, and we are commissioned as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are His personal representatives in the devil's world. You are. Think about this for a minute now. You represent Jesus Christ. The way you dress, the way you talk, the way you live, the way you do things, you are His representative. So, you got to remember this. As a royal priest, we represent ourselves before God. We are believer priests. We don't have to go to another priest. We can pray directly to God the Father. We don't need someone to intervene for us. So when you bow your head and say, Heavenly Father, I approach your throne in the name of Jesus Christ, your anointed Son, bingo, you're right there. We have a priesthood. We don't need someone to sacrifice an animal on our behalf. The Lord Jesus Christ has already been sacrificed. We represent ourselves before God. But then on the other side of the coin, as a personal representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are royal ambassadors. That means that we represent God before man. One of them is us representing ourselves before God, the royal priest. The other, as a royal ambassador, is us representing God before man. Man who's lost in sin. Man who's lost in darkness. We are the one who reaches that person. This second commission, the royal ambassador, requires us to communicate the gospel, the good news. And it must be in a language understood by the recipient. So you have to talk to people. This is why you're here. As His personal representative, He is counting on you and depending on you to represent Him to a lost and a dying world. This means that all believers, me, you, your pastor, we are all in full-time Christian service. Granted, we didn't appoint ourselves. We were appointed by God. And granted, we don't support ourselves, we're supported by God. But our instructions are in written form, recorded by the apostles straight from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ who sent them. And it's pretty simple. We don't belong to this country to which we've been sent. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's our country. That's our home. Uranos, heaven. We are Americans, those of us that live here, birth by birth. We're proud to be an American. This is not my home. I'm passing through. The Bible says I'm a sojourner. I'm passing through on my way to glory, on my way to the promised place. But while I'm here, I am to tolerate others, hold no grudges, have the spiritual strength to stay the course until God calls me home. And 2 Corinthians 5:20 gives me my commission. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. That's my royal commission. Yours too. As though God were making his appeal through us, you and me. We invite you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You and I are ministers of reconciliation. That means we give the good news of Jesus Christ to those who come into our periphery. To say that I witness through my lifestyle is a coward. I witness through my lifestyle. I don't preach to people. That's a coward. If you're not willing to give the gospel straight up, you're a coward. It doesn't mean you have to preach to everybody you meet, but you could at least give them a track or something. We'll talk more about that later. But every person you meet is an opportunity to escort them into heaven, into God's grace. So your ambassadorship is made up not only of how you live your life, but what you say. In private, you function under your priesthood, your believer priest, but in public, you function under your royal ambassadorship, the personal representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you say, I'm a Christian, you are the personal representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Church-age believers like you and me are not only ambassadors to human creatures, but angels are keeping an eye on these things that are going on down here as well. You are a royal ambassador. You're being watched right now. Angels observed our Lord in 1 Timothy 3:16. They observe and rejoice over the conversion of just one person in Luke 15:7 and 10. And then fallen angels, who you know as demons, are organized to resist and oppose your ambassadorship and your growth in grace. This is seen in Job 1:6, in Job 2:1 through 3, in Ephesians 6:12. We're at war. There's a spiritual war going on. So, Christian service, that's you doing something for God. Christian service related to your royal priesthood, which includes prayer, giving, and the execution of the protocol plan of God by learning, thinking, and solving problems. That's the priesthood. Christian service related to your priesthood. That's you representing yourself before God. You are supposed to pray. You're supposed to give. You're supposed to live the protocol plan of God. And the only way you can do it is to learn it, think it, and live it. But then, on the other side of the coin, your royal ambassadorship. Christian service related to your royal ambassadorship includes evangelism. It includes witnessing. It includes administration in the local church with you. Functioning in your local church, maybe as a deacon, or administration on the mission field, or some function in a Christian service organization. A Christian service related to the laws of divine establishment is a wonderful way as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. If you serve in the military, if you serve in law enforcement, if you serve in government, that's a wonderful way to represent Jesus Christ, God's anointed Son. It's awesome. So 2 Corinthians 5:19, to witness the fact that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Have you ever thought why people go to hell? why they spend eternity in the lake of fire? Is it because they're bad sinners, they're drunks, they're immoral, they're adulterers? What's the reason? No one goes to hell because of their sins. Their sins have been paid for. Their sins were judged on the cross. All sin was poured out on Christ. I've told you the Bible says, he that knew no sin was made sin for us. People go to hell and spend eternity in the lake of fire because they reject Christ as Savior. He that believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, and he that believeth not, the wrath of God abides on him already. If anyone goes to the lake of fire, it's because their name is not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, not because they're sinners, but because they rejected forgiveness. They rejected the opportunity to be saved. They rejected Christ as Savior. I mean, Jesus was clear. This is the will of the one that sent me, that you believe in me whom he has sent. And he said, if I'm lifted up, I will draw men to myself. You must lift him up. You must proclaim his name, not obnoxiously. You must literally give the word of God as an ambassador. You stand for God. You are a personal representative of Jesus Christ. You have been sent here for a mission. That mission is to lead someone else to Christ, to give them the information so they can have eternal life also. Not for you to sit on it and say, well, I witnessed with my lifestyle. Again, that's a coward. Listen, anybody can be a good person. Anybody can have a moral lifestyle. Just because you live a moral lifestyle, that doesn't impress people. You know as well as I do, as soon as you open your mouth and begin to talk about Christ, that you're going to be alienated by certain people. And that's fine. That's the way it's supposed to happen. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Father will turn against son. Son will turn against mom and daughter. I mean, it's all in the Bible. So why do you think it's supposed to be real easy if you talk about the Lord Jesus Christ? If you identify as a royal ambassador, do you not know what's going to happen? You're going to be ostracized. You're going to be attacked. You're going to be a target. If you have a business card, what does it say? John Doe, Professional Services. Put on the bottom of that card next time you reprint it, an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Put it on your card. Give it to people. Don't be ashamed of it. It's the most unique calling in the world. You have been called to stand beside Christ. You have been called to represent him. You have been sent into the devil's world with a royal commission. Go, therefore, and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, many Christians are so self-absorbed, they never even come close to living the Christian life. They don't even get close to it. They don't even know what it means. They just go through the ritual of religion without no reality to it. Ritual without reality is totally meaningless. There has to be reality to what you do, like communion. So many churches offer communion once a month, once a quarter, two or three times a year, and it's just a ritual with no reality because people don't even understand what they're doing. They couldn't name any doctrine associated with the bread, and they couldn't name any doctrine associated with the cup. They just eat it and drink it and say, okay, I'm remembering Jesus. It's a lot more than that. It's a lot. It's a test. It's a test of what you can remember. Many Christians are so self-absorbed, they never take the time to learn anything. Yeah, I got my ticket to heaven. Yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm going to go to church. Every Sunday morning, I'm always there. I always give my tithe. I'm a good Christian. I don't drink, dance, smoke, chew, or hang around with those that do. Yada, 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 yada. But what about the plan of God? What about growing the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? What about study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? What about take my yoke and learn from me? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. What about if you love me, you will keep my mandates, and they're not grievous, 1 John 5:3. See, each individual you meet is an opportunity for you to extend the grace hand of God in fellowship. He's waiting. And you can invite them and introduce them to your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not confident in what you're supposed to say, then give them a tract. I mean, my goodness, I have a little small tract called Happiness. We give them away by the hundreds. Put it in their hands and say, would you, if you take time to read this, let me know if you have any questions. Would you please take a moment to read this? They may throw it away. I mean, that's okay. We'll print some more. But if one of them takes time to read it, you've at least given him an invitation to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ without you saying anything if you're not confident in what to say. If you're not confident in what to say, sometimes it's because you don't know how to say it. So maybe 1 out of 100 will eventually respond, but at least you offered the good news. Personal witnessing is one category of Christian service as part of your royal ambassadorship. The Holy Spirit will take your words, the words you say, and he will act on them. But he only uses what's accurate. He doesn't use what's inaccurate. So if you tell someone, if you want to be a member of the royal family of God, you got to quit drinking and quit smoking and quit cussing and quit going to R-rated movies, that's not how you get saved. It's believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is an opportunity for you to have a new life in Christ. An opportunity for you to be somebody, for you to actually be somebody, not just a number on your driver's license, but to be a royal ambassador of Jesus Christ, his personal representative in the devil's world. That's what you're called to be. It's an awesome responsibility. It's an awesome opportunity. It's an awesome privilege. Put it on your card. Put it on your mailbox. A royal ambassador of Jesus Christ. What a privilege to lift up the name of Christ and see people be drawn into him. I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. And I hope this is meaningful for you. If you have a question, you can always contact me through our website, rickhughesministries.org. Until next week, same time, same place, please come back.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please consider listening up. Just stick around for a few minutes, 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and always done without any manipulation. No hidden agendas, nothing to sell you, nothing for you to join. Just trying to give you some accurate information. Information that may verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if I can do that, you can orient and adjust to the plan. My job, educate. Your job, evaluate. So please, The Flatline comes every Sunday morning, same time, same place, same station. We do this by faith, believing this is something God has given us an open door to do. We're not here to manipulate anybody or to try to convince anybody that you're wrong and I'm right. We're just here to give you some information. Occasionally, it's always interesting to run into people who want to convince you how wrong you are, even though you don't ask them. So there's always a few people floating around out there that want to square you away, and you have to be careful with those sort of people. We're not that sort of person. We're not trying to square you away. We're just trying to offer you some information. And if you don't agree with information, turn the radio off and listen to something else. It's just that simple. Because it's your free will, your volition, your choice to listen. And I appreciate it if you do listen. And I appreciate it if I'm able to give you some scripture from the Word of God that will encourage you, help you, direct you in your life. Today we want to talk about something that I think is key for our times. It's called political bitterness. Political bitterness. Can having a flatline, last time we talked about the necessity of having a flatline in your soul, we showed you that from the Bible. And 1 Peter 5:8, be sober and alert. Your enemy, the devil, goes around like a roaring lion, prowling about, looking for someone to devour. And so we showed you the reasons why you should have a flot line in your soul, a forward line of troops, F-L-O-T, a main line of resistance, so you can stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside source of stress. That's why we always say adversity is inevitable, stress is optional. So having a flot line in your soul keeps you even from becoming bitter. Bitter and antagonistic towards those who appear to be demanding a different way of life. A politician who doesn't think like you nor act like you, and one who appears to be total contrary to anything God's Word says about civility or establishment concepts. It's very easy to get aggravated at these people, very easy to get angry with these people. Especially when you see how unrealistic some of their demands are. You don't know their intentions, you don't know their desires, but it's pretty obvious they want to take this country in a different direction than what maybe you want it to go. So let me give you some principles to consider and some verses that we want to try to think about and live by in these days of contention in politics. And the first principle, number one, is no believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is charged by God to change the politics of any country. It's not our job to convince people to be Republicans or to be Libertarians or to be Democrats. It's not our job. Two, our job is to represent Jesus Christ as citizens of a foreign country and not to try to change the political system. We don't belong here. We're just sojourners. The Bible says we're just passing through. Yes, I'm an American, and yes, you're an American citizen, and we have a citizenship in this country, but we actually have a dual citizenship. We have an earthly citizenship, which is here, and we have a heavenly citizenship, the word heaven, Uranos, and that's in heaven. That's with God. And so, three, as a royal ambassador of Jesus Christ, we are not citizens of this country. We have a heavenly citizenship, but we serve in the devil's world. We've been left here. We are still here. We're not in heaven. And so there's a reason why we're here. There's something that our master wants us to do. As ambassadors, we represent him, just like any ambassador would represent the president of a foreign to a foreign government. We represent Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 21, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they may be like his glorious body. That's a reference to the exit resurrection. You may know it as the rapture of the church. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall appear in the air, 1 Thessalonians 4, and we which are alive and remain together shall be caught up with them in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord. And I know there are people that say, well, the rapture's no such thing as a rapture. That's all baloney. Don't write me and try to straighten me out. This is what I believe. This is what I teach. If you want to teach something else, get your own radio show. How's that? Say, man, you sure are being hostile today. No, I'm being practical today. And so it's interesting how people always want to, point their view out and try to straighten you out. This is what I believe the Bible teaches, that there is a rapture. There is a rapture of the local church. And it will happen who knows when. It could be today, it could be tomorrow. But one day you're going to be walking down the street and you're going to disappear. You're going to be caught up together with the Lord in the air. And so shall you evermore be with the Lord. This is a blessed hope that we encourage one another with. Because we live in times when it looks like we're in deep trouble, and we are as a nation. But our citizenship is not here, and we're not to be discouraged, because we eagerly await a Savior from there. Where's there? What does that mean? From the presence of God. You know, there are three heavens. There's the heaven around this world, the skies. There's the heaven of the universe, and then there's the heaven, the presence of God. And when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, he will come through the universe back to this earth, and he will proclaim us as his children. He will take us back to be with God. who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, Jesus Christ controls history. Through him and by him and for him, as Colossians says, were all things made. And so Jesus Christ is the Creator, and he will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like his glorious body. You're going to get a resurrection body eventually. It's an amazing body. I don't know what it's going to look like, but everybody, and I know this, there's no more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow. The old things will be passed away. But this body that we live in now won't work in heaven because it has a sin-infused human nature. Because the Bible says, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death is passed on all. This is why we have to die. We are sinners. We have received the implication of Adam's original sin. And when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and are born again, then our human spirit is made spiritually alive, and when we die, our soul and spirit go to heaven, and the body goes to the grave. That's it. You don't need this body anymore. You're going to get a new body, a resurrection body. And that will be phenomenal when that happens. So, one, no believer is charged by God to change the politics of a country. Two, our job is to represent Jesus Christ as citizens of a foreign country, not to change the political system. Three, as a royal ambassador of Jesus Christ, we are not citizens of this country. We have a heavenly citizenship. But we are stationed, or we serve, in the devil's world. And four, we are certainly to pray for our leaders, as the following verses indicate. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 6. Now, whether you like our current president or not is not even the issue. I don't know who the president is, who he could be. It could be President Obama. It could be President Trump. It could be President Bush. It could be President Carter. It could be any president. But this is what we're told in the Bible about our presidents, our leaders, in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. So what God is asking you to do, if you're a Christian and you're a Democrat, and you hate the current president, Donald Trump, first of all, you're sinning, because hatred is a sin. It's a mental attitude sin. And if you're a Republican and you hate the past president, Mr. Obama, you're sinning. You're not allowed to hate. We're supposed to love our enemies or love those that we don't consider ourselves agreeable with. So this says that we have to make supplication, prayer, intercession, giving of thanks. Listen, Jesus Christ controls history. Make this prayer for kings and for all in authority that we may lead. Why should I pray for these people? So we may lead, verse 2, 1 Timothy 2, 2, a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's all we want. We just want people to leave us alone. We just want to live a quiet and peaceable life and not hear the banter of partisan arguing every day. It all boils down to who wants the power, who's in power. We want power, you want power, we'll do this, you'll do that. Everybody's trying to get the power. And it's unbelievable what people will do to get the power, what they'll say, what they'll do. And so we pray for our leaders. And the person that's in power right now in this country is the current president. And the Bible mandates we pray for this man. I was encouraged to see the University of Alabama when they visited the White House and they prayed for the president. I thought that was an awesome thing. And then Paul goes on to say, this is good and it's acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What's good and acceptable? That supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all that are in authority, so we can live a quiet and peaceable life. It's good. It's acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved. That's all men, A-L-L, all men. God is not willing that any should perish, to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. Knowledge of the truth. In order to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to have some information. And in order to get the information, it's knowledge. Someone has to give it to you. or you pick up the Bible and you read it for yourself, but it's knowledge. If you're ever going to be able to effectively talk about Jesus Christ, you must have some knowledge. You must know what undiminished deity and true humanity is. It helps if you understand why you take communion and what is the issue with the bread and the cup and what do they represent. It helps if you understand the resurrection. If it helps if you understand these things. That requires you learn the Word of God, and that requires a great pastor to teach it to you. And so, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth? In John 17, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ said, I have given them your word, that's the disciples, and I've challenged them to give the word. And then he prayed for the disciples and prayed for all that would believe in him through the word of the disciples. That's the Bible. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was praying for us in John 17. And there is one God, verse 5, 1 Timothy 2:5. There's one God, one mediator between God and man, and this is Jesus Christ. And so there you have it. Verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So the Lord Jesus Christ bore our sin on the cross. He paid for our sin. He paid for my sin. He paid for your sin. He paid for any ex-president's sin. He prayed for anyone that's incarcerated, their sins as well. He paid for the sins of the world. Every sin of the world was dumped out on him on the cross and judged in him. And that's why the Bible says, he that knew no sin was made sin, so that we may be made the righteousness of God through him. When God looked at you, you were lost. When God looked at you, you were no good. And yet he loved you. And he sent his son to die for you. How do I know God loved you? As the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But love your enemy? You can't do that. You say, maybe God could do that, but I can't love those people over there because they're wicked and they're evil. Well, they may be wicked and they may be evil, but we are still mandated to love them. However, most people don't understand what that love is because they get it confused with a personal love. It's not a personal love. Personal love is a great virtue. And the Bible says in 1 John 5:3, we obey God because we love God. That's personal virtue, personal love for God. But the love that we're mandated to have is an impersonal love. It's a love based on who we are, not based on who and what they are. So it's possible for me to love the biggest jerk in town, not because he's a wonderful, loving person and there's something in him that I can respond to, but because I am the kind of man that God wants me to be, the kind of man that Christ was, who gave his life as a sacrifice for people that hated him. He loved them. He even said, Father, forgive them. They do not understand what they're doing. Who does God place in authority over you? Well, in Romans 13, 1 through 5, the Bible says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. So here's the first principle. Anyone in authority over you, God put them there. That's right, God put them there. And you said, well, that's the biggest jerk in town. Do you know what he believes? God put him there. The Bible says this. Here it is. There is no authority except that which God has established. If God allowed it to happen, remember, Jesus Christ controls history. The Supreme Court of Heaven is open 24 hours a day. Nobody gets away with anything. God is well aware of what's going on. And sometimes God allows a nation to go under divine discipline because we reject the concepts of divine institutions. And sometimes he may even allow people to be put over you that hate you in order to discipline you, in order to bring you back to where you need to be. And so the authorities, Romans 13, 1 through 5, the authorities that exist have been established by God. I'm quoting now the Bible. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authorities, rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. God does not authorize a revolution or a rebellion. He authorizes you to love your enemy. He authorizes you to replicate the life of Jesus Christ. He authorizes you to give the gospel, not to bring a revolution. For rulers, verse 3, hold no terror for those who do right. But for those who do wrong, yeah, you bet. That's my words there. So do you want to be free from the fear of one in authority, the Bible asks? Then do what's right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Verse 5, therefore it's necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. By the way, Rome was in charge when he wrote this. And Rome wasn't exactly giving Christians a front row seat and praising them. They were burning them at the stake, throwing them in the lion's den, watching them be executed. You understand what I'm saying? You must be in submitting to government authority. You're not allowed to run your mouth and run them down and curse them and slander them and try to convince everybody that we'd be better off with a different president or we'd be better off with a different government. That's not the job of the believer in Jesus Christ. God can intervene in history. God can intervene in history. Listen to Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever he wishes. So God is perfectly capable of turning any governmental authority's mind in a different direction. Let me quote what my pastor taught me a long time ago. I'm quoting from his notes that I took. Mature believers, and I hope that's you, a mature believer. Mature believers have an invisible impact in history. That's invisible. Most people won't even know you're out there. Mature believers have blessing by association to those in their periphery, those who come around you. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And if you're around a mature believer, you're going to be having blessing by association. 3, often history is the story of how weak control the strong, especially in politics. Because weak, insecure, thoughtless, arrogant people often control the policy or the procedures and people in social life, people in culture, business, marriage, government, as well as local churches. That's true. So through arrogance, self-centeredness, preoccupation with self, the weak in society control and manipulate the strong often. This is why irrational, self-righteous crusaders often dominate in politics and in government administration. And this is how a power-mad, irresponsible press can dominate and destroy great leaders or potentially great leaders. So there are two choices here. There is power politics, or there's the pivot. Two approaches to problem solving, the pivot or power politics. Power politics is the human and satanic solution to the problems of life. Problems in America. Oh, well, we need a new leader. We need a new government. We need a new way of thinking. We need to have this. We need to be that. We need this. We need that. And they want to change. Well, listen, if you took everybody in the United States and moved them to Mars, you would still have the same problems because the problem is the sin nature. There are sin nature. It doesn't make any difference who you elect, who you put in office. Everybody has a sin nature. And in spite of where they are, they're still going to be the same way. So, power politics is the human solution, the satanic solution. Just let me run the show and I'll take care of you. I'll give you free this and free that and I'll make sure you never have to worry about anything again. Oh, that sounds so good. Let's vote for that one. But then the pivot is the other side of the coin. Pivot politics, that's you if you're a mature believer, includes people that know Christ as Savior who advance in the plan of God through the perception and the application of the Word of God and reach spiritual maturity. Those people become part of the dam that holds back divine discipline on an arrogant nation. The pivot. Without a pivot, the United States of America is done for. We would be under divine discipline and we'd be destroyed without a pivot. So, With renovated thinking, we are able to function with the mindset of Christ or to acquire divine viewpoint. We have to change the way we think. Divine viewpoint has to be learned. It's not inherited. This is 2 Timothy 2:15, 2 Peter 3:18, Matthew 11, 28 and 30. All talk about study, grow, and learn. Study, grow, and learn. You can't know the mind of Christ unless you grow, unless you learn it. Somebody has to teach it to you. So why do you need the thinking of Christ in your soul? Well, because Jesus said in Matthew 10:22, you're going to be hated by all of these for my name's sake. In Matthew 10:28, don't be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. In Matthew 10:34, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. The very fact that you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and the very fact that you believe the Bible is true, the very fact that you're not into the diversity and all of this stuff, you're not trying to make everything that used to be evil good, this is going to cause you to be hated, called wicked and evil names, because you believe what the Bible says. The evil of power politics is amazing, because those who seek to control will say anything and do anything to gain control, and they will often use unsuspecting young people who believe the public lie. I call it drink the Kool-Aid. If you tell it often enough, loud enough, and long enough, it's going to be believed. And that's the power of the press. Repeat, 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 repeat the lie. This is the devil's world. And he certainly does not want you or anyone like you messing up his world system called evil in the Bible. And we can now see what used to be good is turned to evil by diversity thinking and inclusion, and what used to be evil has been transformed into good as an alternative lifestyle. It's still evil. But our mission is to stay out of politics, to stay out of condemnation and criticism, and to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will draw men to Himself. We are the light of the world. Light attracts. You know, you can be a bug zapper for the Lord Jesus Christ. Light attracts, and you can attract the bugs who need the truth. So Ephesians, let me tell you how this goes. We are told to equip ourselves for the battle that we're going to face. According to Ephesians 6:11 through 18, we do it by building a flat line in our soul. That's how we do it. All right? And so we do it by acquiring a spiritual life and submitting to God's reign, the way God trains us. Okay? Ephesians 4:17, so I tell you this and insist on it, in the Lord, that's the prepositional phrase, this is not Paul's opinion, this is from the Lord, in the Lord, that you do not live like Gentiles live in the futility of their thinking. They don't have the mind of Christ. You do. Their minds are empty. They are darkened in their understanding. Ephesians 4:17 through 32, and separated from the life of God because they are ignorant and their hearts are hard. They've lost all sensitivity. They've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. However, Paul writes, this is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Jesus Christ, you were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Christ Jesus. And you were taught with regards to your former way of life to put it off. Put off your old self, which is corrupted with deceitful desires, and live a new life in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, put off falsehood. Speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we're all members of one body. There you go. That's part of the secret. How do we get this? We learn how to do it by getting the mind of Christ. Learning Bible doctrine. Learning the Word of God. Without learning the Word of God, you will have no frame of reference. Without learning the Word of God, you will have no choices in life. That's why Proverbs says wisdom and understanding and knowledge and discernment are critical for you. Critical for you if you're going to survive in the devil's world. I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. I mean, there's only so much I can say in 30 minutes. Be sure, if you have a question, feel free to write to me. Don't write trying to straighten me out. It'll just go in the garbage. But if you have a question, and I've given you something to think about, then be sure to write. Ask if you want. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes.